This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for joining us. I just sat down here. I'm in a rush. Got in a little bit late. Played a little more music than you normally will hear on our stage. Maybe that's a good thing, right? Anyway, thank you for joining us. It is Monday, November the 15th. Holy Toledo, we are halfway through this month exactly. In a few minutes, Mike Howell of the Heritage Foundation, he's going to be with us. We're going to talk about those proposed cash payouts to illegal immigrants. If their families were split up when they came across the border, as much as $450,000. Can you believe any of it? We're going to talk about it with Mike. Also, as Biden gets set to do, they call it a virtual meeting. He's going to sit in front of a TV screen. He's going to talk with the president of China today. As he's doing that, his own administration is lapsing into damage control. Have you heard about this morning? There is real dysfunction inside the White House involving Joe and Kamala Harris, the vice president. We're going to talk about that. Get some other thoughts as well from the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Sorese, a little bit later in our show. And speaking of China, Russia has amassed about 100,000 troops at the Ukrainian border, leading to the question of just what Biden, the president, our president, would really do if there were communist takeovers of whole countries like Ukraine, or let's say China takes over Taiwan. What do you think Biden would do? We're gonna take a look into that. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a goodie. America's top 10, with all of the problems we got with getting products to market, right? America's top 10 busiest U.S. shipping ports, where we get the most goods coming in, et cetera. Do you think you know what they are? We're going to give you the top 10. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, you want the best haircut in Tampa Bay? You can waste your time running around all these boutiques and salons and everything else, these stylists. The best place you're going to get a haircut, a men's haircut, is Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That is on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. By the way, call for your appointment first, 727-733-3773. And always, always prepare yourself for our program by listening to Good Morning Clearwater. It comes on from 8 to 10 a.m. It comes on actually Monday through Friday. They're great. Paul and Tracy Allen. Let them start off your day. All right. Well, we got a lot of things going on. I can't wait to talk about this deal. How do the Democrats come up with these things? Do they want to guarantee that they're going to lose big time next year in the elections? They want to hand out up to $450,000 to illegal immigrants? What? I can't wait to talk with Mike about that. In the meantime, you know how much critical race theory is dominating the news. It's to the point where the Democrats are upset with the term now. They are disavowing woke and critical race theory. They're disavowing the terms. But the governor of North Dakota, he has signed a bill. It bans critical race theory in schools. You can't do it. Now, that makes North Dakota the latest GOP state to take specific action in their legislature against CRT in public education. Here's what he said. The bill addresses the concerns of parents while preserving the decision-making authority of local school boards to approve curriculum that is factual, objective, and aligned with state content standards. My goodness, do you mean that we're actually going to bring back common sense into our schools? Common sense? Where people can actually, kids can actually learn to write a straight sentence? Or add 9 plus 7, take away 12, and all that kind of thing? And find out, you know, the facts in history? You know, facts are an amazing thing. No matter how much you try to obfuscate facts, they're very stubborn. Facts hang around. Theory, not so much. Anyway, critical race theory is such a divisive topic now. It's such a divisive thing. We all know. I mean, when I grew up, I knew about slavery. I knew that our founding fathers and wealthy landowners, actually, back in the 1700s when we were getting started, I knew they had slaves. Slaves had been around for a while. Slaves were introduced out of Africa by other black people that sold slaves all over the world. It was one group of blacks enslaving another group of blacks. And they started selling, it was chattel. It was like goods that you could own. You would bid on them. It was terrible. It was terrible. But please give people some intelligence. Give them credit for having some intelligence. We got past all of that. We fought a civil war over it. And to hold it up in front of white people as if they are now to blame, people today that had nothing to do with any of that, are to suffer. They should feel embarrassed for their whiteness. Hell no, I'm proud to be white. Just like anybody in an Asian family should be proud to be Asian, or a black family. My goodness. You know, it's just, this self-shame thing only leads to trouble and turmoil. That's all it ever does. But we've always tried to teach here the concept of individualism. Don't group people. Once you group people, you're in trouble, big time. When you group people, it's like the Hatfields and the McCoys, right? So you got white against black, male against female, rich against poor, gay against straight. It's the Hatfields and the McCoys. And everybody suffers. And that's what happens. Anyway, let us take our break. We're going to talk about, speaking about a divisive topic, we're going to talk about paying illegal immigrants all kinds of money when they cross the border, if indeed they are separated at the border by family.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello out there, tune in on TAN Talk for Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. We will find resources, education, and a shoulder for the caregivers. I know it's tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in, where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver.
That's Connecting Caregivers Radio, Fridays from 1 to 2 p.m.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap too. She's got a pad on 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of love potion number 9.
Hey, we are back on a Monday and delighted to have back Mike Howell, who is a senior advisor for government relations at the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk about one of the strangest things that anybody could come up with, cash payments to illegal immigrants that cross over the border, if indeed there is a separation of parent and child, something that the Trump administration was doing at some point. Mike, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
Let's get into the actual procedure that was being conducted by the Trump administration when illegal immigrants came over in families, etc., that led to this whole controversy. Were they actually separating parent from child, and why were they doing that?
You know, I'll never say the Trump administration was the one separating them, because the parents brought their children here to the border illegally, full well knowing that we have immigration laws in this country. And so it was not the Trump administration responsible for any separation of them. It was the parents who opted to break the immigration law, and with that comes the consequence of being detained. As our laws are written, because the people who live here get to choose the representatives and actually choose the laws of, you know, our democracy. And so these parents who brought their kids basically abandoned them over to Border Patrol and opted instead to, you know, be detained in the country for a shot of, you know, getting released instead of just going and turning around with their kids. This is also something that's happened in previous administrations, and it still happens to a certain extent today. You know, when a parent needs to go into immigration detention, they don't always get to bring their kid with them. And that's part because the Biden administration has defunded these family detention centers that the Trump administration was trying to gear up so parents could be detained with their children in an appropriate facility. But it's all part of this catch and release plan. And so under the, you know, guise of, we don't want any kid to be in immigration detention, we just release everyone who's associated with a kid under the Biden administration. It's a complete joke.
Yeah. Well, you know, President Biden tried to make the point when he was finally confronted with the question. And by the way, he's been dodging questions like I don't know what, you know, hiding from questions on this. But he said that, you know, he had this outraged response about separating parent from child, as if somehow the Trump administration was an evil separator, you know, just delighted to separate them and not focusing on the whole procedure. And that is their argument. And now we've got this deal, I guess. I don't know what where they are in this thing, but is it really true that they are still considering payments of up to $450,000 for illegal immigrants over this?
Oh, it's not only, it's confirmed many times over. So you basically have, through one of Biden's first executive orders, this task force called the Family Reunification Task Force. And they're negotiating with all of these illegal aliens that, you know, were removed in the Trump administration. Very interesting. The only time frame the task force is interested in is the ones from the start of the Trump admin to the end. They aren't interested in the ones, you know, that happened under Biden or under Obama. They're focusing on this group. And they have the authority to settle with them through what is known as the Department of Justice Settlement Fund, which is, you know, a long-abused kind of program. The Obama administration did this to our form, where they would settle with environmental lawsuits. You know, their friends of the administration would sue the DOJ in what's called collusive lawsuits. And then they would settle with them in the judgment fund and give them a bunch of money to their buddies, and all the lawyers would get really rich. So that's what they're doing now in the immigration context. So this is not the only kind of class of claims either. The task force has admitted in their reports that there's many such other lawsuits underway. And you betcha, once the first one goes out to the ACLU on this, it could be anywhere from, you know, up to $450,000, that's going to set the benchmark. And every trial lawyer who is an associate of the Democrats in this administration is going to realize that the piggy bank is wide open, and they're inviting you to take from it. And so that's what's going to happen. We're going to see much more of it.
You know, this is absolutely Machiavellian. I mean, to even consider doing this, and then doing it and making a buck on it, and only dealing with those that came over during the Trump administration. Everybody else that's coming over now, no, you're not going to get anything. We're only going to deal with those that came over. I mean, this whole thing, is it any wonder that that the poll numbers for Biden and Kamala Harris and the Democrats are tanking? I mean, what is the logic, Mike? What is the logic in their making these payouts, do you think?
Yeah, well, if you're looking for logic or reason, you're not going to find much. But I'll tell you why it's happening. It's happening because this administration, Joe Biden, in his old age, decided not to, you know, staff a team that would basically try to have him adhere to his campaign promise of being a moderate. Instead, he is staffed up with a bunch of, like, Soros groups and NGOs who are running the immigration policy for this country, the furthest left of the left. And he can't stand up to them. He doesn't have the capability, the awareness, or, you know, the time to do it. He's outsourced all of this to the craziest of the crazy. And so, of course, you're seeing groups like the ACLU and others line up, and they're going to get rich off this. And we're going to pay for it. Americans are going to pay for it. And they don't care, really, about the poll numbers for Biden. No, they care about their interest groups getting as many illegal aliens in the country and making a quick buck off of it. The poll numbers are Biden's problem, not theirs.
Oh, my God. We're talking with Mike Howell. He is a senior advisor for government relations, by the way. Government relations, that almost seems like a paradox. Anyway, at the Great Heritage Foundation, and a colleague of yours, Mark Morgan, wrote a piece, I guess, in the National Review, "Cash to Illegal Immigrants is the New Low in Biden's Open Borders Push." Speaking of open borders, that infrastructure bill apparently was pulling money out of border security, you know, like in building a fence. I mean, we pass an infrastructure bill. You know, we talk about, you know, repair for bridges and roads and highways and this. And then they're pulling money away in that thing from building security along our southern border. It just doesn't make any sense.
It's absolutely crazy. This infrastructure bill, well, first off, we should not call it that. It is not an infrastructure bill. It is a trillion-dollar-plus slush fund that has some throwaway money for roads and bridges, but basically it's just a Green New Deal bill. It's you know, they just got the whole media to call it the infrastructure bill, apparently tricked enough Republicans in the Senate and House to go along with it. It's an absolute slush fund. And I don't know if you saw, but last night they named that Mayor Pete's not going to be the one running kind of this disbursements of the slush fund. They're bringing in the former mayor from New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans isn't really known for good infrastructure. Some of the worst infrastructure in the country. You know, they get bailed out every year when it floods. And then also, it's probably one of the most corrupt cities in the entire country. So that gives you kind of a sense where this thing's going. I mean, you saw Mayor Pete last week talking about how they're going to be looking at racist bridges and whatnot to determine who gets money. You have a bunch of cities basically lining up saying, hey, our bridges are the most racist. Give us the most money.
Yeah, in fact,
that's where we're going.
Yeah, in fact, he's going to create a slush fund, is he not?
Yeah,
he's going to create a slush fund so that they can now administer and lord over who gets what.
You're absolutely right. This is how the administration works. In their first, you know, major bill, the CARES Act, not the CARES Act, but Biden's first $1 trillion or $2 trillion bill when he came in, the American Recovery Plan, basically was this. It was a blue state payout. It was a bunch of money designed, you know, under the terms of COVID relief that actually just went to paying off the debt incurred and the financial just craziness of these cities. This is the same thing, but they're just calling it infrastructure. It's just money going to, you know, blue state Dems, mayors, governors to basically, you know, pay off political favors.
Yeah.
This is why you saw people get behind Biden so much. I mean, this is how it works. This is how the sausage is made. This is how you build the favor that gets you paid off in these giant bills.
I just, I'm just thinking back to a year ago, you know, back to November of last year, just before, I don't know. If people could see what's going on in this country in a year, the border situation has become a calamity. The the inflation situation like we haven't seen in 31 years, right? Getting things to market. For those of us old enough to remember when Jimmy Carter was president and everything seemed to go wrong, everybody was lining up to buy gasoline. The interest rates were like 18-19%. You know, it seems like it's even worse now. It really does, and it's what a foreboding for Democrats.
The one thing I hope comes of this is that this is the biggest demonstration of what actual far-left governance looks like. This country was creeping very far left, you know, with the election of Biden and others. But I hope the country, and we see this in the poll numbers, has woken up to the reality of this is what happens when we go far left. I hope they have ruined for generations the temptations to ever do this again. And I hope the American people send that strong message, you know, next time they're able to.
Well, if you take a look at the polls, apparently they are finally figuring this out. There is a poll just came out. I think it's from ABC News. Yeah, ABC News and the Washington Post. You wouldn't consider them to be a conservative outlet necessarily. It said here, if the midterm elections were held today, the majority of registered voters would support the Republican congressional candidates by a 51-41% margin. So it does seem, Mike, that maybe people are finally figuring out there's something not working here.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, we're seeing it all in its merits play out. I mean, whether it's foreign relations, the economy, you know, with inflation, whether it's the supply chains, whether it's the open border, whether it's just, you know, absolute nastiness that's, you know, punishing political enemies, whether it's, you know, anyone from a pipeline worker down to, you know, Sean Spicer getting kicked off, you know, naval boards. You know, it's just the just vengeance of them is through the roof. But what worries me is maybe they do get the message that the country is not with them anymore. So what does that mean? That means that they just see that they have a year left to get as much possibly done as they can because they're going to lose anyways. And so we're going to see the craziest stuff coming down the pike this year.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Will they, are they going to sacrifice themselves on their swords? Some of these Democrats going, well, I'm not going to be reelected anyway. So, you know, let's go for broke. And we'll throw everything into every bill we can. First of all, look at the, I guess, it's like the thumb on the dike. We have two Democratic senators, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, who seem to be stopping this. It's like they're giants right now. And boy, are they disliked by, apparently, by the rest of the Democrats right now in Congress.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, they're true, I guess, centrist voices or independent voices, but we'll see. I mean, I haven't, the reconciliation bill is still coming forward full speed. I'm worried that this is just a little bit of, you know, a dance game to kind of make the number go down a little bit and then still, you know, ram it all through. I'm not willing to say that Manchin or Sinema have stopped really anything yet because this bill's coming over to the Senate. So,
yeah. No, you're right. There's no guarantee that they won't go along with it. It's just amazing to me. It really is. Well, anyway, Mike, thank you so very much. What an interesting and important topic. I look forward to talking with you again down the road.
Absolutely. Would love to do it. You have a great week.
Same to you. Mike Howell. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, as Biden gets set to do one of those telephone virtual meetings with the president of China, have you heard what's going on with his own administration? There's damage control inside the White House.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us. Now, we got damage control going on. Apparently, it has to do with Kamala Harris. And this is CNN, by the way, yesterday. CNN article suggests dysfunction within the vice president's team. One of their reporters, two of them actually, Dovier and Wright, published an article entitled Exasperation and Dysfunction Inside Kamala Harris' Frustrating Start as Vice President. And the article highlights repeated conflicts between Harris, her staff, and the White House. I thought Kamala Harris was a bring-together kind of person. I mean, don't you get that love? Don't you get that love when you see Kamala Harris? I mean, you immediately are attracted. I know that Ed is. Ed is attracted like a magnet every time Kamala Harris comes in front of a camera. Right, Ed?
What do you think the Democrats' biggest mistake was, the bigger of the two? Having Biden run or choosing Kamala as vice president?
That's a very good question. I would
if
say
if they can do it over again.
I would say, first of all, it's Biden. First of all, it was the Democrats' fault for getting Biden elected. That's number one. And then it was Biden's fault for getting Kamala Harris to join the team. So we can kind of blame both of them.
Well, I don't
to
think
come it, up to come up with this clown
I don't
act.
Think, I don't think it was Joe's. I don't think it was Joe's choice for her.
You don't think so?
That was clearly the party. No, she called him a racist.
He kind of went along. He kind of danced to the strings of the.
Yeah, but she called him a flat out racist during the some of the debates.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing how everybody forgets those things.
Of course.
Let's admit that Trump and Ted Cruz were going at it. Tong and whatever.
Right.
And they became friendly after the election. So that's the way things go. But anyway, we got our two buddies. We got them both. We got double pleasure or double trouble. We have Angelo and Andrew Ceresi with us. And we're going to talk a little bit about what is going on here. They're doing damage control, Andrew, at the White House. In the meantime, I think Biden is going to get on the phone with the president of China. He'll probably forget who he's talking with and order a hamburger and chicken wings. What do you think?
Well, Paul, you know, first of all, you say the team in the White House has problems. But, you know, there's only one team I know that has more jackasses than the White House, and that's the 20 Mule team.
You remember the 20 Mule team Borax thing?
That's right. They had more jackasses, almost more jackasses than the White House.
That's pretty good. Hey, Angelo, it's welcome back. And you're watching all of this going on with Kamala Harris and with Joe Biden, and it does seem if there isn't just downright the clownishness going on, there's a real they are dysfunctional.
Well, from day one, they've been dysfunctional. Look at the Democratic team. Right, she's trying to speak with a French accent in France.
Oh, yes. That's right. De Plan. Do you remember that? What was the show with the little guy that came out and said, De Plan?
Fantasy Island.
Yeah, this is Fantasy Island all over again.
Fantasy yep. White House.
Fantasy White House.
You got two clowns over there in Washington right now running this country. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That the American people, because they didn't like Trump's tweets and they didn't like his demeanor, they put these two clowns in to run the country.
Yeah, we were talking, I don't know if you caught it, in our conversation with Mike Howell, that the numbers, finally, it seems like the people are catching on. The numbers for the chances for Democrats being reelected have plummeted for next year. And there's a good chance that the Republicans will control. It's almost a foregone conclusion that they will take over the House, even the Senate.
If they take over the Senate, I think they're looking at maybe 53, 54 seats.
I think it could be. Yeah, it could be. It's going to be a little harder in the Senate because they are defending more seats. They're defending like 21 of the 34 seats that are up, the Republicans. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And there's only about 13 Democratic seats. So it's going to be a little bit tougher there.
Well, if the sentiment right now is leaning towards Republican, there's no reason why they shouldn't take control of the Senate. I mean, are the American people that blind that they see what's happening? I mean, I can't believe that the American people would want to go through this again.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So, Andrew, everything seems to be kind of, you know, falling into place. I think Trump is probably sharpening his knives as well. He's going to go after those 13 Republicans that jumped over and supported that infrastructure bill. He's calling them out by name. He's going to make a point, I think, of hoping that they get primary, don't you think?
Paul, they have to. We got to get rid of all the rhinos that are in there, and we got to get rid of the Republicrats. We need to bring in the new Republican Party, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way to do it.
Yeah, I think you're right. In the meantime, the numbers are looking good here in Florida. I mean, this is a relative thing in terms of the virus. And the way Ron DeSantis has been handling the virus, at first people were throwing slings and arrows at him because he wanted to keep an open business, open school policy. And now he's starting to look pretty smart, don't you think, Andrew?
Well, you know, I got to laugh at this because, as we know, everything that Trump said was true. He predicted what would happen if Biden became president, and everything has happened. As far as Russiagate, everything that Trump said has happened. Ron DeSantis is the same way. Okay, everything he said would happen is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're not giving him credit. You don't hear anywhere on the news that Florida has the lowest rate of COVID in the country, do you?
They don't want to publicize it. You're right.
Okay, they won't publicize it. But I'll tell you one thing the Democrats are doing. As they are not funding Charlie Crist and Nikki Fried in the state of Florida, there's a reason behind that, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, that's very interesting that you would bring them up. I was reading about those two, and whether or not, I mean, Charlie Crist, to those of you that don't know, had been our governor and had been a Republican, and then he became an independent, then he became a Democrat. Now he's now a Democrat congressman. He's in the St. Petersburg area. Typically, it's kind of a bluish area. The guy is the ultimate, what would you call it, when you only do things so it will advance your own personal career. You know, he's that kind of a... Huh?
He goes along with the wind.
He goes along with the wind. He's got his finger in the wind.
He doesn't care about the people of Florida.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He cares more about himself. And he's going to be running, and Nikki Fried, or whatever her name is, those two are Democrats, right, Andrew?
Yeah. Nikki Fried Bean and Charlie Crist.
There we go. So those two will fight it out, and then one of them is going to run against DeSantis and probably lose big time, right?
Well, you know, I want to see Charlie Crist spend his own money.
So,
you know,
they're not going to give him any money in the Democratic Party?
No,
is that...
No. The Democrat Party said they will not put any money in the governor's race in Florida.
Why do you think that?
Because the Senate. I heard it on the news and I read
No. I understand that, and you're right. I'm saying, why do you think that the Democrats don't want to give Charlie Crist any money for this?
Because they know it's a losing cause.
Okay. Hey, Angelo.
They don't do too many things right, but that one they're doing right.
They figured that one out. So, Angelo, I see that your ex-governor is he's still making news, but not in a good way. Apparently, he's got somebody else, some assistant that he was having some sort of a relationship with. Have you been following that at all?
Yeah, a little bit, you know. Because,
Governor Cuomo.
They're still trying to knock him out of the box because they really want that Letitia James, the Attorney General, to primary Kathy Hochul, who was the assistant governor now. I mean, lieutenant governor. She's the governor now.
I see. So it's political.
They want because she's a black, she's a woman, and they think that they want to keep New York State. You know, especially during the general election with the electoral votes.
I'm surprised they don't use the mayor from Rochester that got arrested.
So she'd be a good candidate. She's resigning next month. She's getting off on a misdemeanor.
Tell everybody, Angelo, what went on with that mayor of Rochester that she got in trouble?
Well, she used campaign funds to to spend towards election, not election, but her own personal use. And her husband was caught in a drug ring, and they found a weapon in the house.
Oh, boy.
Not registered, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, she has what's called a sanctuary city, anti-gun, this and that, but yet her husband has an unregistered firearm in the house. And now she settled for a plea deal where, you know, she's going to only be charged with a misdemeanor, which means nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's resigning as mayor effective in December. Her husband's working on a plea deal right now. But now, if you and I did that up here in New York State, they'd be throwing us in jail and throw away the key.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
For the Democrats, there's a different type of law, you know?
Speaking about the gubernatorial situation in New York, isn't de Blasio, the mayor of New York, the ex-mayor now, soon-to-be ex-mayor, he's thinking of running for governor. Does this guy not have... He's got a tin ear, doesn't he?
It's a joke, yeah, you know?
He thinks that he's going to win?
Head into the ring, whatever, and you got all these people going to throw their hats into the ring to become governor.
It seems like Democrats really have tin ears, Andrew. I mean, look at Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, and I mean, their poll numbers are in the sewer. And then they got Psaki, who's back from having a COVID bout, by the way. And she's trying to defend, and everything's falling apart inside the White House, and she's in damage control. She defended Kamala Harris's position.
Black Lives Matter founder here in New York, he's telling the New York City, the mayor-elect, that there will be protests, riots, and burning buildings and this and that. If because he wants to bring this policy back with the police department and everything.
Yeah, defunding.
And the defunding and all that stuff. He wants to bring this all back. Now, this guy was a former police captain, right? And this Black Lives Matter co-founder, who I think really is a Marxist, which they've already declared that they are, wants to burn down buildings if things don't go their way.
Yeah, they're threatening, aren't they? Andrew?
They're threatening, yeah. But yet, and they're also threatening rioting in that kid's case in Kenosha, Wisconsin. How does he figure this? You know?
It's Christmas time. They need to go shopping. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, that's true.
It's simple enough.
You're right.
Are they going to be wearing Santa Claus? Are they going to be wearing Santa Claus suits as they push the shopping carts along, piling up?
Elf suits making believe they're helping Santa. But I can guarantee you there'll be work shoes on the shelves. Don't worry about those. They'll be sticky and work shoes.
Oh, my goodness. You guys, it's always a pleasure to have both of you on. We have to laugh. I mean, there's so many things that are going on that are not that are not good. But let me ask about Nicole, your beloved wife, Andrew. How is she doing?
You know, Paul, she's been off the oxygen now for 5 days. I took her out grocery shopping. First time she's been out in a store in 3 months.
Oh, my goodness.
And I could not believe it. She was like a kid in the candy store. And she had the cart so high, you couldn't fit any more in it. When we went through the line at the checkout, the Publix was short on baggers, so I was bagging all the groceries, and the line was forming behind us.
Wow.
And I said, honey, did you get your EBT card? I forgot mine. The bill was like $360. You should have seen the look on the people's face. And the girl asked me if I wanted a job. I said, I'm sorry, I'd have to give up my disability if I started working. She should have seen the look on the people's faces.
Oh, that's funny.
Wife said, you're embarrassing me.
My wife's got the shingles.
She does?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Last week.
Oh. Well, I hope.
Angelo probably brought those on, giving her stress, because that's what gives you the shingles.
Oh, Lord. Well, we're gonna say a prayer for your wife, Angela, and we're saying a prayer for Nicole as well, and we're so delighted she's doing so well. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Wait, what about a prayer for me?
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, I'll toss a prayer or two in there for you. I mean, what the heck? You know, it doesn't cost me anything more.
You got it.
Okay.
Good day.
We'll talk to you Wednesday.
All right. Thanks, guys. There they go. All right. Hey, let's take our break. When we come back, you know, we were talking a little bit about Biden talking with the president of China. Russia, in the meantime, amassing 100,000 troops at the Ukrainian border. What's Biden going to do about that?
About a working all summer just to try to earn a dollar.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
On a Monday, Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network, and delighted to be so. But if you can't listen to us live, Big Ed has made it possible for you to listen to our programs anytime you'd like, because he puts all our shows on podcast. All you have to do is go to the website, our website, which is OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click at the top there on the podcast button, and away you go. Well, so Biden is taking a phone call, or at some point going to be talking with the president of China, and he apparently has said that he's really going to make clear. This is the White House report on this. President Biden will make clear U.S. intentions and priorities and be clear and candid about our concerns with the People's Republic of China. Do you think that she gives a damn what Biden says to him and he's going to change anything? I don't think so. It says here, In addition to discussing the relationship in general, the Biden administration has been focusing on China's lack of transparency with the regard to the investigation of the COVID-19 virus. Lack of transparency, they're shutting down any kind of look-see into the Wuhan lab where this thing came from. I mean, come on. Is Biden going to talk to him about that? Is Biden going to talk to him about keeping their hands off of Taiwan, do you think? In the meantime, the president of Ukraine, President Zelensky, says that the Russians are amassing about 100,000 troops near the border. Here we go again with Ukraine. He says that the action makes it clear to the world who really wants peace and who is concentrating nearly 100,000 soldiers at our border. Now, American officials are warning that Russia could attempt to invade the country relatively quickly. Now, that's kind of scary. Here's the U.S. Secretary of State. He briefly discussed the situation at the border during a strategic dialogue, warning that Russia needs to avoid making a serious mistake. What do you think Biden is going to do if China attacks Taiwan or Russia invades the Ukraine? I don't think he's going to do a damn thing. I think he's just going to stand there. And I don't think either country is worried about Biden.
He's going to do exactly what the teleprompter tells him to do.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to do. I'm sure he doesn't even know.
I don't even think defense of our position overseas and what we do overseas even crosses the minds of most of these progressive Democrats. They don't care about that. They would rather ignore it. Mm. You know, that's one thing. That's another big thing between conservatives and liberals. Liberals are more hands-off, leave everything alone, let them fight it out over there, but they forget that we kept the peace after World War II by establishing all of those bases around the world.
Right.
We kept Russia at bay. They had grabbed the atom bomb in the early 50s. They had grabbed the atom bomb after we developed it for World War II, you know? We kept them at bay. So it's very interesting. Anyway, before we get to our top 10, we have a good top 10, I think. The busiest U.S. shipping ports. I want to talk to Ed. I can't believe my eyes, Ed, but I think I saw our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers lose their second game in a row, and they went up and they played the Washington Football Club and they lost.
Well, you know, we talked about this. Washington is not that bad. I know they got a bad record. It was 2-6. Now they're 3-6. But they have a young quarterback that gave us fits last year in the playoffs. You know, Taylor Heinicke.
He looked great.
He looked like Brett Favre out there yesterday, for crying out loud. We've got big problems on the defensive side. And, boy, we're seeing how much of a drop-off there is between Gronkowski, or tight end, and the next tight end, which would be Cameron Brate.
Okay.
And, of course, O.J. Howard, our other first-round draft choice tight end, on the first play of the game is offsides. So it just started. You can see the drop-off with Antonio Brown, who's hurt, and then you've got a youngster coming in behind him. He's dropping ball. It was messy, is all I can say. Messy. And they didn't deserve to win. So let's not jump off the bridge yet. They're 6-3.
Oh, no.
You got to remember, this, last year they were 7-4 at one point.
True.
So
do you think that they're going to get their act together, or the injuries just too much to overcome, or what?
I think they can get the injury. I don't see any catastrophic injuries right now. So I think at some point we'll have everybody back. So
they'll be a contender again, for sure.
Yeah, and we'll just have to watch out. By the way, Green Bay with the Aaron Rodgers and his whole immunization thing.
Yes.
Remember that he came out and said, I was immunized.
Yes.
But he fibbed.
He said his
actions may have been a bit misleading.
Yeah, in other words, I lied to you.
In other words, I got a little fine instead of a suspension.
Hey, by the way, they shut down the Seattle Seahawks last night.
Yeah.
Seattle didn't score one point.
Right.
That's pretty impressive,
yeah,
I
it
thought.
Is.
Very
it
impressive.
It is.
Okay. Time for our top 10. I think we have a good one. You know, we've been talking about supply chain problem, right? Okay. And we've been talking about how all these ships are lined up in the ocean out there in California, waiting to deliver the goods. So we decided we'd go and we'd find out what are really the busiest U.S. shipping ports. So here we go. These are the top 10 busiest U.S. shipping ports. And by the way, this is measured by the number of containers imported last year in 2020. So here we go. Number 10. Number 10 is Oakland, California. Oakland, California is the 10th busiest shipping port, right next to San Francisco there and the Golden Gate Bridge. Number nine is Charleston, South Carolina. Did you know that? I would not have known that Charleston was a busy shipping port. It was a critical place, by the way, in the Civil War. Charleston, South Carolina. Number eight, Norfolk, Virginia. We get a lot of goods coming into Norfolk.
I thought it was just military.
I know, but apparently not. Yeah. I didn't know it. I wouldn't have guessed it either, to be honest with you. But Norfolk's number eight. Number seven, over to the West Coast again. Excuse me, Tacoma, Washington. Now, that's near Seattle,
mm-hmm.
and it's got a busy port there. Number six. And I don't know how they separate these two, because they're only separated by a few miles, but Seattle is number six.
Mm.
So six and seven are in Washington.
Competition.
Yeah. Very true, very true. You ever been to Seattle or Tacoma?
Flew over it.
You know, the airport is called SeaTac. Mm-hmm. SeaTac.
Okay.
Seattle, Tacoma. It's between the two.
Mm.
Yeah. All right, number five. Not surprising, Houston, Texas. That's a huge oil place, too, mm-hmm. but Houston's also a big shipping port. Number four, did you know Savannah, Georgia was big?
I didn't know it was that big, but...
Huge.
Yeah, wow.
Savannah, Georgia, on the Atlantic Ocean. Number four. Number three, Long Beach, California. We knew that. We've heard about Long Beach. That's where one of the major blockages is going on, by the way. But it's number three. All right, number two. Now, this one surprised me, actually, a little bit. I would have thought New York would make the top 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is Newark, New Jersey. So they've actually slid down to the New Jersey side for some reason, and they made the port there. I'd be interested to see how that developed, but it's in New Jersey. All right. All right, Ed, I know you've been busy. I know you've been listening to other people there. So I don't know if you're going to know, but do you want to take a guess at number one?
I guess L.A. I don't know if you have to get more specific.
Los Angeles? Okay. Roll the drum.
Where everybody's sitting outside waiting.
Bingo. Yeah. Los Angeles is number one, and it is where everybody is sitting outside. I don't know what is going on.
Can you imagine having to circle out there for 3 months, whatever
it is? I mean, what do you do for weeks and weeks on those ships if you're an employee?
Hopefully
it's driving nuts.
Hopefully it's nothing perishable.
God, that's true. All the food products that might be on there. Very scary. All right.
Maybe your Thanksgiving turkey's out there.
Oh, that's another problem.
You might not get it till Easter.
The cost of those things, by the way. All right. Thank you so very much. We will be back on Wednesday. Remember, freedom works.
Like the legend of the Phoenix, all ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning?